Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are faithful. We thank you for all that you do for us. And as we give back to you today, we pray that you would bless, Lord, that you would work through these tithes and offerings and provide for the ministry. You've worked out miracles here before, Lord, when we've been in need, and we thank you for that. You've done miracles in lives that are represented here today, and even tomorrow, Lord, we don't know what's going to happen, but you have things in store for us, and we thank you that you're faithful, that we can follow you, and that we can have fellowship wherever we are, in trials and tribulation, whatever it is. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and your love never fails. So we give back to you today, we give you this time, and we pray that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. I'll read the odd-numbered verses and ask you to read the even... Let me get that the other way. I will read the even-numbered verses. Last time I taught, I did have you start first, and this time I'm going to start first. So, verse 8, I will read the even-numbered verses and ask you to read the odd-numbered verses as we go through verse 13. Matthew 6, 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him.
In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. We thank you that you provide and that you meet our needs. And today, as we focus on the bread, the daily bread, Lord, I pray that you would use your word to encourage and to help and to grow us. Build our faith, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we went through that passage, many people call this the Lord's Prayer, but I feel that John chapter 17 is really the Lord's Prayer, because in this prayer he said, in this manner, verse 9, therefore pray. And so I call this the model prayer and not the Lord's Prayer. But that's really not the point of what's going on here. We don't need to argue over things like that. It's not important, is it? So, but what is important is the Lord's words to us. And in verse 11, it says, give us this day our what? Our daily bread. So it's about the bread, right? That's what our message says today. Got bread, IDK. And so I had to ask my kids what IDK meant. And they said, I don't know. So none of us knows. But it's all about the bread. And we talk about bread a lot, don't we, in life? If things are easy, we say it's like bread and butter. Or if you make the most money in the household, you are the breadwinner. And so here, though, he's not talking about money or ease or things like that. He's talking about what we need. And so let's go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, starting in verse 12. And what we're going to be going through here is the feeding of the 5,000 plus. Matthew 14, verse 12. It says, then his disciples came and took away the body, that's the body of John the Baptist, and buried it. So these are John the Baptist's disciples. And they went and told Jesus. So they informed Jesus that his relative, John the Baptist, had been put to death. Verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. So what was he doing? He was going to get away. He was taking his disciples with him, actually. When it says by himself, it was he and his disciples. But they were going to go away. And it says in verse 13, but when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. So he seeks to get alone. They're up in Bethsaida. Mark tells us that. This is the only miracle in all four Gospels other than the resurrection. And so We're told by Luke that it's up in Bethsaida. So they're up on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. So he wants to get away. And Mark tells us in his telling of it that they didn't even have time to eat. They had been so busy ministering to others and healing and doing different things. But the people, they came out from the cities, from all over. They followed Jesus to receive healing also. Verse 14, and when Jesus went out, he saw what? A great multitude. So remember that, a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, not only was he moved with compassion, but Mark tells us that the reason he was filled with compassion is because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so that's what the Lord desired to be for them. And not only that, but he also taught them many things. But what's interesting is it's now time for the apostles to learn something. Many times we think that what the Lord is doing is for someone else. But here, I feel it's for the apostles. Look at verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." So it's evening, the hour is already late, but it's actually not evening. So that may be confusing, but this is not a contradiction. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So this is after the feeding. So when did it happen? What's the first word in verse 22? Immediately. So no time has passed, and it says in verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. And so that's the actual evening. So the way that they would reckon time was different than us. And so the evening here in verse 23 would probably be somewhere around 6 p.m. And so the earlier passage that we read in verse 15, it's more likely late afternoon, or what we might call early evening for them. And so this is probably for them around 3 p.m., somewhere between 3 and 6. So the problem is that the multitudes are supposed to be sent away, but where would they go? What would they get? So the disciples say, let's do this so that they can provide for themselves. Because they know earlier the Lord had told them, don't take anything. Don't take a tunic. When I send you out, just go out in faith. Don't even take bread. So Mark tells us that. But Jesus said to them in verse 16, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So the food that they needed at the end of verse 15 is in the other Gospels, bread. And so we started out talking about it's about the bread. Verse 17, and they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, where did all this food come from? 5 whole loaves and 2 fish. So in the Lord's hands, that's a lot, isn't it? So, but for them, they looked at that and they said, 5 barley loaves... and 2 small fish, dried fish. How is it? They looked around at the magnitude of the crowd, the people, the multitude. How are we going to provide for them? This is all we have. And we find out from John's account of this that it was Simon Peter's brother Andrew that's the one that said, we have here 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish from this young lad. So it was like the lunch that he brought out. He was prepared, but no one else was, the little boy. But no one else had anything. So all this food came from a lad. Verse 18, he said, bring them here to me, the 5 loaves and the 2 small fish. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and he broke them, and he passed out the loaves, it says. So what about the fish? Well, again, this is where the other accounts help us out. Because John tells us in John 6:11 that the fish were also passed out. So by his account, it's understood it wasn't just the bread that was given out. In other places, it tells us that. But it's not just about the bread, even though that's all that Matthew records here. And I think, what did that bread look like? After he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples went out. There's 12 of them, and they take these, they go out, and they start passing it out. And there's 5,000 men besides the women and children. So this is a large group. And they would have been going out there for a while. So did the bread look fresh? Did it look like it was minutes old, fresh out of the... We don't know. What about the fish? So wouldn't you like to be there and see what was going on? Put yourself in these stories? And that's what we need to do. These accounts of what Jesus did, when you read it, personalize it, think about, go back in time, and what would it be like? We're up there on the seashore, and there's all these people, and wouldn't it be neat if you were part of the 5,000? Wouldn't it be neat if you were up front and you saw what was going on? People in the back don't know. So we like to be up front when something exciting is going on, right? But we're not there now, but we've got the Lord's word to put us there. Verse 20. So they all ate. Who ate? They all did. And were filled. Or another way to translate that is they were satisfied. They made a meal of it. It wasn't like they took a little crumb and, okay, I'm done. I'm trying to cut down on my carbs. So, no, they filled up. They were all filled. And they took up what? What did they take up? Verse 20. Good. 12 baskets. That's exactly right. How many apostles were there? 12. Isn't it interesting? 12 baskets. There's 12 apostles that were passing it out. They come back with these 12 baskets. Now, when we think about baskets, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. But the basket here is a small basket. So maybe something like the small plants are in up here. So that's probably more of a medium basket, but it was that size. Because later we're going to see that there are large baskets. And so here it is, small baskets. 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. So there were leftovers. The Lord blessed, he broke, he passed it out. Some people tried to dismiss what the Lord did. And they say, well, the people, they had loaves in their long robes and they would pull it out. And so they all sat down. Oh, everyone's eating bread, we'll eat bread. But that's not what happened. Why would four accounts get it wrong? And two of the people that were involved were gospel writers. So Matthew and John were apostles. And so they were there distributing. Why would they write down something that doesn't make sense? And why would it go on for so long and no one contradicted it? So it's because it's what the Lord did. He provided for all those people. This is the time of the Passover, and they're thinking about going to Jerusalem and making that journey. So that's what John tells us. So they're not thinking about, what do I need today? They go out there and they spend the day with the Lord and there's healing. That's what they were thinking about, not the food. And so he provided for them. And there's leftovers, fragments, 12 baskets full. Verse 21, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So the disciples, they weren't thinking about being prepared for this. They're tired. Remember, they hadn't been able to eat. They had crossed over. The crowds followed them, so they didn't take food with them. He sits them down on the grass. He provides for them, and they all eat. And so this should really minister to the disciples, the 12. They should really be strengthened in their faith and understand that even a little bit with the Lord is much. So who is the miracle for? Many think it's the 5,000, but I think the apostles are the ones that are really going to be affected by this. So let's go to Matthew chapter 15 now. Let's skip forward a little bit. We're going to go to verse 29. So we just read the account of feeding the what? 5,000, the 5,000. And now we're going to get into the 4,000, a separate event. So Matthew 15, verse 29. Jesus departed from there. So things have been going on. He departs again. So he's going from the area of Lebanon to the southeast end of the Sea of Galilee, the area that's called Decapolis, which was a Gentile area. So he skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, the account here is not in all four Gospels. This account is in Matthew and it's in Mark. I would have thought Luke might have wrote something about it because he was the physician and he focused a lot on the healing and things that happened with man. But it's only in Matthew and Mark. It's in Mark chapter 7 and 8. So who did they glorify? They glorified the God of Israel there at the end of verse 31. And that's what needs to happen in our lives. When the Lord does something, it's not about me. It's about the Lord. Is it about the bread? It's not going to be about the bread. It's going to be about the Lord, the bread of life. Verse 32, please. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me how long? 3 days. So this is a different event. Before it was 1 day, now it's 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Because Mark tells us that many of them came from afar. So they would have to travel several days back, perhaps, to get home. So the Lord's concerned about the people, and that's what we need to be also. Verse 33. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? That's a good question. What do you think the answer is? They can't. So where are they going to do? It hasn't been that long since the 5,000 were provided for with the 5 loaves and the 2 small fish. So you would think, okay, the Lord can do something, but sometimes we doubt. The Lord did something for us before. Will he do it again? So he certainly can. It may not be the exact same way, but he doesn't give up on us. He's faithful. He's faithful to complete the work that he started into us until the day he comes back to take us home. So don't give up on the Lord. He doesn't give up on us. Verse 34. Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So this is encouraging to me in another way, because they have more. Sometimes we focus on the numbers. What do I have? So they had more than before, but they still lack the faith to think he could do it. Sometimes we think it has to be exactly the same. Oh no, 7 fish? No, it's a few fish. So it was only 2 before, now it's a few. So how many is a few? 3 or 4? We don't know exactly how many there were, but for sure 7 loaves. Oh no, before it was 5 loaves, and that's how the Lord did it. And so maybe we should hide those 2 loaves and make it 5 again. We try to put God in a box sometimes, but that's not the way he works. We can't make a formula that God's going to fit. His ways are beyond our ways and past finding out. And that's why it takes faith. We need to trust the Lord. So Matthew 15, verse 35. So he commanded the multitude to sit down where? On the ground. Good. So before it was on the grass. Now it's on the ground because, again, this is something different that's happening. It's a similar miracle, but it's to different groups, and it's in a different area. Verse 36. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So do you think these loaves looked any different than the previous ones? And the fish different? Well, the fish were different because the word is different between the two accounts. One is a dried fish, and this one is a fish that hasn't been prepared yet. So they just have some fish that they need to cook. And so the Lord is going to provide through it. Even still, verse 37. So they all ate, just like before, and were filled, and they took up, not 12, but 7 what? Large baskets. So in Acts 9, verse 25, the word that's used here is the same word in Acts 9, 25, where there was going to be an attack against Paul. So Paul had been Saul. He had gone out. He had sought to put Christians in prison. And on the road to Damascus, he was knocked off his horse. He saw a light. He received the Lord. He became a Christian and wrote most of the New Testament, most of the books, smaller books, but most of the books. And there was this attack on him many times. And so in Jerusalem, there was this plotting. And the disciples said, we need to get him out of here. So they took a large basket, the same word, and they hid Paul in it. And then they lowered him over the wall. So we're not talking about it. Paul would not fit in a basket like this up here. We're talking about a large basket that a man, Paul was supposed to be small in stature, but he could fit inside that basket and be let down. So now they have these seven hampers, if you will, full of fragments, leftovers. Before it was 12 baskets, now it's seven large baskets that a man could fit in. So they all ate and were filled. Verse 38, now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. Again, something different. But Mark tells us in Mark 8:31 that this group, so let me ask you before I tell you, 4,000 is greater than 5,000, correct? No, it's a trick question. So here's what's going on. Before they were preparing for the Passover, they were taking people around. Now it's a Gentile territory. So before to go for the Passover, the women and children didn't necessarily have to go. The men were supposed to go and represent the family. So here it could be a larger group because Mark tells us in Mark 8:31 that it was a very great multitude for this miracle. So we focus on the number sometimes, the 4,000, but it could have been more than the 5,000 plus, perhaps. So what does Jesus do now? Verse 39. He sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. And so that would be the area where Mary Magdalene would be from. And again, there is hope. Because the disciples, they don't get it. And he didn't withhold the miracle because they didn't understand that he could provide, that he didn't need a lot. He still worked it out. And so when I lack faith, the Lord can still work, can he? Isn't that good? But I shouldn't be the one that tries to limit the Lord's work. I need that faith. I need to increase in faith. I need to grow in faith. How do we grow in faith? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I should grow in faith by reading God's word. Read it out loud because then you're seeing the words, you're hearing the words, so you're getting it twofold. But not only that, we know that faith comes through trials. So it's your choice. Do you want trials or do you want to read the Bible out loud? So we know we should read the Bible out loud, but it's challenging, isn't it? Spiritual things are challenging, and so we need to set aside that time with the Lord and spend time with him. Here, the Lord sent the multitude away, got into a boat, and came to the region of Magdala. But the disciples are with him still, and so they're seeing what's going on. So who's this miracle for? Certainly for the 4,000 plus, but it's also for the disciples. But who else is it for? It's for us, exactly. Good. Let's go to Matthew 16, the next chapter, and we're going to skip down to verse 5 after the Lord has been challenged by the Pharisees and the Sadducees about a sign. In verse 5, it says, now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take what? Bread. So it's about the bread after all, isn't it? So they keep coming back to this thing that they focus on, and we do the same thing. A lot of times there's an issue in our life, and we focus on that, the circumstance, and we keep coming back to it. Oh, the Lord, what are you doing? Help me here. I'm asking you. Help. Now, Paul asked three times for the Lord to heal him. He had this thorn in the flesh, but it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him so that he wouldn't be prideful when he had a glimpse of glory. And so the Lord had a plan in working through that. And so Paul, he lived in that faith. Sometimes we don't see how the Lord is going to work it out or what he's going to do. And sometimes it's not about me. It's about someone else. It's about the 4,000. It's about the disciples. It's about us, someone around us. So you never know why you're going through that trial necessarily, because the Lord's ways, again, are beyond our ways, past finding out. Paul tells us in Romans 11. So the disciples, they go to the other side and they forgot to take bread. Not prepared. And the word here is epilanthemai, which means they totally forgot. Literally, they had completely forgotten. So they should have. But wait a minute, didn't they just have 7 hampers full of leftovers? Where did all that go? What happened? We don't know, but they forgot to take bread. Now, that is the way that Matthew is telling us. This is not a discrepancy in the Bible. But in Mark 8:14, it says that all they had was one loaf. So they had one loaf, but they forgot to take more with them, I suppose, is how it would work out. It's the same as if we all witnessed an accident and the police separate us and ask each person, what did you see? And then they put the whole thing together to understand what's going on. And so Matthew's telling us his side of what he's focusing on. Mark tells us another side. So there's not a discrepancy. Many people want to look at things in the Bible and say, oh, the Bible can't be true. Look at that. How could it be? It says that they forgot to take bread, and the other says that they had one loaf. So obviously there's a discrepancy, but it's not. To me, they forgot to take more. They didn't prepare for the journey. They had one loaf, one barley loaf. So these aren't what we would think about as loaves. These are small. So that's all they had. So that's kind of the focus now. Is it enough? Look at all we have now is this. Do we do the same thing? Oh, my bank account. All I have is this. So my health, my whatever it is, all I have is whatever it is. But in the Lord's hand, he can do great things, can't he? And again, we don't know how that miracle is going to work out. I know how I want it to work out, but it may not be the way that the Lord desires to work it out. And so that's why living by faith is difficult, because I don't always get my way. Sometimes it doesn't happen soon and I do get my way, but it's all in the Lord's timing. And again, it's not about me, just like the disciples. Maybe it was for the 4,000, maybe it was for them. Maybe it was for us, so we can read it now. So verse 7, they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Verse 8, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith. And this is encouraging to me, but let's continue on. You have little faith. Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? So he's aware of it, and he uses this phrase here, you have little faith. So how much faith? Little. So, but little is much when the Lord is in it. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew 6:30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So there's kind of this pattern. We start with everyone's given a measure of faith, but it has to grow. We need to be growing. And part of our spiritual growth is that faith. Let's look at Matthew 8:26. So they're in the boat, there's a storm raging around them, verse 26, but he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Do you think there was a calm in the disciples that were in the boat with him? They just thought they were about to die. And then, oh, miracle, he stopped the storm. But he called them, you of little faith. I don't think that's a put down. Many times we think people are being critical. Here I think he's pointing out the good. You have little faith. You have a little faith. That's good. We need to have more faith, but I think he's encouraging them. Sometimes I have little faith. I need more faith. But the Lord's telling me, hey, you have a little. Lean on me and I'll help you through. I'll give you that faith. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. Matthew 14, 31. So this is where Peter has just walked on water out to the Lord. I don't know how close the Lord was to them as they were in the boat out there in the Sea of Galilee in the storm. They didn't recognize him, so it could have been some distance. They could hear him. John's the one that said, it's the Lord. And so Peter says, if it's you, call me and I'll come out. And it says in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, Peter, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You were doing so well. You have that little faith, so much faith, he walked on water. Do we have that much faith? So that's quite a bit of faith to me. But the Lord says, little faith. Come on, grow in that faith. That's what we need to do. So sometimes we lack the faith and we miss out on the big picture that the Lord's trying to tell us. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. This is another event that encourages me in my faith, especially when I'm going through a trial and struggling. So Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 17. What can we do when we think we're lacking faith? Mark 9, 17. It says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. It's nothing worse than your child going through a trial. And there's nothing you can do for them except pray. But that's a good thing, isn't it? So sometimes I mess things up when I try to get involved. Verse 19, he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. So a long time. And often he has thrown himself both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. So the demon had thrown him into the fire and the water to drown him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my what? Unbelief. Give me more faith, Lord. Help me. I believe, but help me to believe more. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now, this is interesting. We think demons are all powerful, but here is one that is deaf and dumb, mute. And that attribute that the spirit had, this demon, was seen in the boy. And so it didn't matter that the demon was deaf. The Lord can speak to it because he's God. He can speak to Lazarus from the grave and raise him up, can he? So nothing's beyond him. Verse 26, then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, the boy, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. We think, oh, deliverance, and oh, no. It's kind of like when you go to the movies, and so what's going on? So put yourself in the event. Think about being there and seeing what's going on with this father and his son, and oh, no, the deliverance, but now he's dead. But he's not dead, verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So sometimes we jump to conclusions and we try to bail out when the Lord's saying, stay with me, stay with me. Hang in there. Have that faith. We may lack faith. Now let's go back to our text in Matthew 16, verse 9. Matthew Matthew 16, verse 9. So remember, they had no bread. End of verse 8. You reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread. Verse 9. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? And Mark tells us that they answered, 12. Yes. Verse 10. Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? And they answered in Mark's gospel, 7. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? It wasn't about the bread. It was about what is leaven? Leaven is yeast. And so yeast causes that tortilla to pop up and become that biscuit. So, and it causes cakes to rise and things like that. It's the yeast. And so that's what he's talking about, this thing that would cause the Pharisees to puff up, thinking that they're better than others because we're the religious leaders. And so everyone else is not. And so we're above them and they're second class. That's wrong. So we're all equal in God's eyes, aren't we? So, and that's a great thing. So they answered him. And he asked, how did you not get it? So they didn't understand the point of what was going on. He was trying to tell them it's about the practice. And they were thinking it's about the food. So sometimes the Lord uses similar things, but in a different way, so it confuses us. So he doesn't really get on to them here, but he's telling them, guys, here's what I'm focusing on right now. Not that, but this. So it's about the leaven, the false teaching of the Pharisees. So the passage isn't about the miracle, but it's about the messenger and his message. That's what's going on through all this, and that's where our faith really needs to grow. So verse 12, here's the encouragement. Verse 12, they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So they didn't get it at first, but they came to understand. And the same thing can happen with us. So when you don't get it and you're frustrated, just know that the Lord is building your faith and that it can take time. And don't try to get ahead of him. Don't bail out, but follow him. So they look to the wrong things. Let's go to John's Gospel, John chapter 6, and we're going to close with this. John 6, starting in verse 32. John 6:32. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. This is what it's about, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him, the Father, who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That takes faith to believe in the resurrection. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? So they were leaning on their own understanding, weren't they? This is Joseph's son. He's the carpenter. He's the son of the carpenter. Who is he? His brothers are here. Matthew and Mark tell us the names of his brothers. But this is what we know, instead of looking to see that the Lord's going to do something and increase our faith, perhaps, in doing it. Jesus, verse 43, therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father." So that's the Lord. He's the only one that's seen the Father. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has" what? "Everlasting life." How do we get everlasting life? Believe in him. That's what his word tells us. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves again, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So here the Lord speaking figuratively, and they're taking it literally. Verse 53, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.'" So when do we celebrate his body and blood? When we celebrate communion, that's right. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So communion reminds us of what the Lord did for us. That's what the purpose of it is. Verse 55, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, he who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, even the disciples, the ones that followed him, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" So what are they leaning on? Their own understanding instead of faith. Verse 61, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Isn't that a sad statement? Disciple means follower. And they turned their backs and they went the other way and they walked with him no more. Verse 67, "Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him," these are great words, "'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know," not just believe, not just head knowledge, but we know in our hearts now, "that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's who Jesus is, and that's how he wants to reveal himself to you. And it could be through a trial. And it may not just be one trial. It may be many trials because I'm a slow learner. Sometimes I got to go through it. My dad told me, learn from my mistakes. And you know what? I had to make my own sometimes. And I'm still learning. But the Lord is faithful. And he increases our faith and he helps us. And we're all given a little faith. So if you're doubting, if you're in a tough time now, trust. Let him help you. That's what he's there for. He'll never leave us or forsake us, will he? Every one of us, he's there for us. And so that's my encouragement to you. I would encourage you, if you're going through it today, trust the Lord. Let's pray.